I think we're in.
Okay, Daf Kokes. Actually, Baruch Kokes on this. The Gemara said, Baruch Kokes, Mani Masnis, and Ibrahim Yehuda Chamit Stamakamar, Phil Dinachi, right? Ibrahim Shimon, Yisrael Nami Mishra Kashari after Pesach. Ibrahim Yosef Lili, Gil Tokman, Nami Mishra Kashari Vanah. So, there are two answers we know, or at least one tentative answer.
Yeah?
Why is it so obvious in front of Yehuda that it's when that would also include Goy's Chamit?
Because. Why not? Chametz is chametz. No? Mehichi tasi the distinction between a guy's chametz and a Jew's chametz. I don't understand. Is there a difference between a guy's chazer and a Jew's chazer? Is there a difference between a guy's nevela and a Jew's nevela? So chametz is chametz. It's a chetzer shal chametz. The year just spoiled because you grew up in kindergarten on Rav Shimon's Knas. But if it's a matter of being a chetzer shal chametz, what is Rav Yehuda Shita? On Pesach, Achalos Isser is Chal on Chametz, and it never leaves. So, Achalos Isser is Chal on the guy's Chametz just as much as the Jew's Chametz.
You never have an expensive scotch and...
According to Rabbi Yehuda, you could never have... Again, theoretically, one could ask, is scotch really Chametz? Is it not? Maybe Alma, etc. But be correct, right? You could never have expensive scotch. I, for one, would be the Seder. I really wouldn't suffer. As a matter of fact, I suffer when people make me drink the expensive scotch. But I understand, though. For some people, it's not so passionate. Okay, weiter. Amar Vachmer Yaakov, the old... Okay, even before we get to this. The Olam Rav Yehudahi, the Olam Sordachil Misordariya, the radical sheet of Vachmer Yaakov, right, that, right, as I told Gutenberg, Chametz is Chametz, he says, no, just like by Rabbi Yomotze, is only Masordariya Shalchay, the Rav, the Rosh Shalchay, Shal Gavoa, Absor Dachil, Shalchay, Yatzar Ochel, both the Ochel, Shalachirim, Ve, Shal Gavoa. That just like, and here's the finish, just like when it comes to by Rabbi Yomotze, it's not that a Gavra Jew is Chayim by Rabbi Yomotze, and a Gavra Goy is not Chayim by Rabbi Yomotze, this is its own Chakira, which we won't get into now, but at least Rabbi Yehuda thinks, it's that a chetza of chametz shel Yisrael is chayiv and bayur b'yimatzei, and a chetza of chametz shel goy is not chayiv and bayur b'yimatzei. Therefore, just like a chetza of chametz shel goy is not chayiv and bayur b'yimatzei, so too a chetza of chametz shel goy is not chayiv in lo socha chametz. Uvedin hu di baylam istazil achil nami shari, and really. It should have said you could even eat chametz of a guy, but I didn't tell Yisrael and Asar Anah. I didn't tell you nothing about, but since it wanted to teach you the chiddush that Yisrael is chametz Asar Anah, so to be parallel, it says a guy is chametz Mutar Anah, even though really it's Mutar Achilu Vinu Divarilu Misnah Filu Tovan a Mutar Anah. Really, even on Pesach, a guy is chametz is Mutar, but I didn't tell you Yisrael Achar Zmano. I didn't tell you nothing about Achar Zmano. Okay, that's Rabbi Yaakov. Tremendous chiddush two-step process. Number one, he makes the assumption, which is not the most pashut assumption in the world, that the heter of Bayu Rabbi Matzah and Chametz Shal Goyim, the heter and the Chetzer Shal Chametz, not just that Goyim don't have to keep Bayu Rabbi Matzah. Well, I guess that's obvious. Right? But, perhaps it's a Pashup Shat, that I don't have to keep Bayu Rabbi Matzah about Chametz of a Goy. I'm allowed to have it in my house. Likewise, the Chetzer Chametz Shal Goy, he learns this, Yolif is Mutter Ba'achila Uvahana'ah. And here, the Gemara is a little tricky, because on the one hand, what did it say at the beginning? That just like chametz of a guy is mutter ba'yirava yimatzei, we're yalif, that it's also mutter ba'achila. Although later on, when it talks about toch zmano, it says it could have taught us chametz of a nakri toch zmano is mutter ba'hana'a. So, b'vavai, it's pashut, that according to Rabbi Yaakov's version of Rabbi Yehuda, which we know later he'll be chozer from, it's pashut that chametz of a guy after Pesach is mutter to eat, on Pesach is mutter b'nene from. The question is, what about achila on Pesach? Right? And here we're not sure. So the beginning of the Gemara sounds like yolif sor d'achila, but the end of the Gemara mentions only hana'a. So, what's the din of achilas chametz shel goy toch zmano? So, who says, really mutter? Rashi, right? Oh, of course, does Rashi say really mutter? Exactly. Right, he admits that, like, if there are bunnen, should be gozer on anything, they should be gozer on this. But, kolomar, chametz degabe, umotzer chametz shel goy, af ba'achila ba'filu ba'pesach min ha'torah. So on the deraisa level, Rashi holds Mutter Mamish. Right, Rashi holds Mutter Mamish. Okay, who holds fundamentally Usher? Who holds fundamentally Usher? Not the Ravid, but the Rav Avraham Avin. Right? There, what was the relationship between the Ravid that we're familiar with from the bottom of the Balamor and from the side of the Rambam and the Avraham Avin? What? Exactly, right? The Ravid, it's a little funny, the Ravid's father-in-law was also Ravid. The Ravid's father-in-law was also named Ravid, but they called him Avraham Avin, so it's a, actually, his father's name didn't start with Dalit, but he was Ravid Avraham Avin, and Avraham Ravid is Avraham ben David. His father-in-law is Avraham ben Yitzhak Avin, I believe. And he wrote which book?
The Sefer
HaEshkol, exactly. So, the Rav Avin Din, the Ravid's father-in-law, says... says, Usher, fundamentally Usher. Why is it fundamentally Usher? Didn't we learn Sor da Achila mi Sor da Riya? So what does he say? Why? Exactly, we can learn Lav from Lav, but we can't learn Kares from Lav. So he says, Usher bi Karon, right? What does he say? That we can learn Hanoa Toch Zmano and Achila Achar Zmano and Lachor Kodim Zmano also. Lav from Lav, but not Kares from Lav. So he's really the only sheet who says fundamentally, and what does the Gemara mean when it says Yolav Sor Achila Misor D'Riya? Yolav Sor D'Achila Achar Zmano Misor D'Riya, and likewise Yolav Sor D'Hanah Tos Mano from Sor D'Riya, but you can't learn Kares from Lav, therefore Be'ikaron, it's usher to eat a Goy Tzchamitz during Pesach.
Why Tos Mano is a Mutter Hanah?
Because Hanah is not Chayav Kares.
No,
you're saying if it's all from lo yocha lo yeachel, then how could he split that in half? It's all one word.
Does he supposed to split in half?
I think he has to, because the Gemara says it's mutar b'ano atos mano, so he has no choice about that, unless he had a different gersh on the Gemara, but I don't think so. So he has no choice. So the answer is maybe that's what's a little duchok about him. How can he split it in half? But apparently he thinks that. Obviously, if you go back to the Lumbus, he obviously thinks Achila and Hanah are two separate Yisurim, right? Back many, many moons ago. But you're right, it's a little dachuk, but that's what he has to say. Okay, Tosfos is somewhere in the middle. What does Tosfos say? That it could have been Mutter, but exactly, it's technically Aser. Why? Because of a Manavshah. What are the only two ways you can get Chametz of a guy? You can steal it, right? There are only two ways to get it. The nice way and the not nice way. Right, you can steal it, or you can, or he can give it to you. So he says in Manashach, if Nosan Lo, then it's Shel Yisrael. And if Gozal, then, what does Tosa say?
You're Chayav Achrayus.
Exactly, then you're Chayav Achrayus. Everyone knows the biggest Chayav Achrayus is a Goslin. So, before we throw in all the other Rishonim, let's just analyze Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos. In other words, Tosfos, the Rav Avin Din doesn't have a kasha on Rashi. The Rav Avin Din thinks a certain svara, and Rashi doesn't think that svara. But Tosfos already is an attack on Rashi, because Tosfos isn't saying to Rashi, I have a new svara. Tosfos is saying to Rashi, it's, your case is impossible. Right? So obviously Rashi thinks the case is possible. So if Rashi thinks it is possible, and Tosfos thinks it is impossible, there must be some machlokas someplace, and I give you two achronim on this now, who have, I mean, you know, which, you know, the, if you want to know what the machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos, why does Rashi think it is possible, and Tosfos thinks it's not possible, so they could be arguing about, what are the two ways to defend Rashi against Tosfos? What are the two ways Rashi think it's possible to eat chametz of a guy? Exactly. So maybe Rashi argues when he gives it to you. Tosfos says when he gives it to you, it's yours. And what is who? Which Achron takes this? Shana Rashi, the Rav Elchanan, right? Rav Elchanan says, why is Rashi arguing Tosfos? Tosfos thinks he gives it to you, it's yours. Rashi thinks if he gives it to you, it is not yours.
Is it the giving you? I mean, Tosfos else agrees that.
Everyone agrees that if he gives. Hold that thought. Everyone agrees that if he mamish gives it to you, says, happy birthday, here's a cake, everyone agrees it's yours. But what does Rashi say? You're right. I'm a step ahead of myself. Rashi argues, Rashi says he can give it to you in a way that's not yours. What does Rashi say? Rashi argues and says he can let you eat it without giving it to you. Right? That is Rav Elchanan. Chanan says, what do you mean if he gives it to you, then it's yours? You never heard of letting someone eat your stuff without giving it to them? Right? I can say right now that, you know, Yaakov, come on over and eat a slice of this pizza, right? I bought a whole pie pizza. I can't eat it all, so here, eat a slice of this pizza. But I'm not giving it to you. I'm just letting you eat it. Can't I do whatever I want with my property? So now the question becomes, so what does Tosos think? Like, is this really, like, so clever that Tosos isn't smart enough to think of, like, Rav Elchanan? I don't think it's so hard. I think Tosos is pretty smart.
What is Rav Elchanan saying, that you can stop it from becoming yours by thinking, not mine?
Right.
There's no das matan. It's not the same as him giving it to me.
Correct. He says it from inside the konan, not the matan,
yeah,
right?
So
okay, so Rav Elchanan says that, that...
That's different than what you wrote. I mean, that's different than what
you wrote. Okay, it comes down to the same thing, right? That I can eat it without having in mind to be konan, right? That says, here, ready? Rashi argues, says, correct, let's say more generally, you can eat someone else's food without, you can eat someone else's food without being konan. Okay, then we just have to figure out, what's the kudus ha-machlokas between Rashi and Tosos? So at first glance, it sounds like, right, what's the kudus ha-machlokas between Rashi and Tosos? The Nekudas HaMachlokas between Rashi and Tosos seems to be, if I let you eat my food, so Rashi says, there's not a kinyan, obviously, unless you want to make one. Everyone agrees you can make a kinyan if you want to. No one's stopping you, right? No one's stopping you from saying, here's the pizza as a present, I'll pick it up and I'll be konan. But Rashi seems to say that when you feed me food, well, that's not the kinyan. And what does Tosos seem to think? Tosos seems to think that when I let you eat my food, that is a kinyan. When I let you eat my food, that is a proper kinyan. So they seem to be arguing about when someone lets someone else eat their food, is that automatically a kinyan? Or is that no, if the guy wants to make a kinyan, he's going to say, hey, but why don't get a kinyan? In which case, this would tie into a few Rishonim. For example, I put some Rishonim here to back up Rashi. The Rashman Bav Metzia asks a famous question, right? There's a machlok, there's some idea that a lokea. Lakuach is patra v'chubas ma'isu on the deraisa level. So, the kutum actually used to patra l'gamri. The Rabbeinu Tam and many others say that if I buy your produce after Gar Malacha, it's part of the Jumas of Maestros. The Rashba, it's an obvious kasha, he said, hold on, if any time I buy your produce, it's part of the Jumas of Maestros, me deraisa, why would it go into mine? What's demine? If a chaver buys for an Am Ha'aretz, there's a gzera of demine. Why? It's not deraisa anyway. Why would they make such a big gzera? It's lakuach anyway. Think they would make such a big gzera on lakuach? If I grow my own stuff, then I know I took up Jumas of Maestros. It's only if I buy your stuff that I have a problem. So why do they worry? So the Rashi answers, no. Lakuach is patur from Trumas Maestros, but inviting a guest over, that's not a kinyan. Inviting a guest over is chayav in Trumas Maestros. So the Rashi in Bava Metzia, seems to hold like Rashi, that when I invite a guest over, that's not a kinyan. Obviously you can make a kinyan if you want. Right? No one's stopping you. But when I invite a guest over, that's not a kinyan. Therefore it's chayav in Trumas Maestros midoraisa. And that's why they made the Xerah of Demai. They weren't primarily, if they had only worried about Chavers buying from Ha'aretz, they wouldn't have made Xerah, because what's the difference? It's Rabbanan anyway. But then sometimes Chavers eat over as guests at Amaratzim's house. Therefore, there's no Kenyan involved. So what does the Rashba say? There's no Kenyan when you invite a guest over to eat. Likewise, the Ran and the Durham, Rav Chanan has been signed to all these things. The Ran and Durham, Lavdala Rebase. It's a funny shakl tari in the Gemara. The Gemara has a deya there that if I asur my food on you, but if I give it to you, it's okay. It's only asur as long as it's mine. But if I give it to you, it's okay. The Gemara says, well, what's the heke timsa where you would eat my food without me giving it to you? At least the way the Ran interprets the Gemara. Everyone's a different shot of the Gemara. The Ran says, no. The Gemara says, how can I ever asur my food on you? If I give it to you, it's mutter. If I don't give it to you, why are you eating it? The answer is, I might invite you over, and I invite you over and spill my food, and you're eating it. So that's the Ran and the Dharam, Dalar and Beis, both assume that the host still owns the food. They both assume the host still owns the food, and if the host still owns the food, then A, there's Chayv and Shuvah Sarais and Doraisa. If I go to an Amaritz's house, that's why I made Zera. And B, that's why it would be usher b'neder for me to eat your food, because it's still yours, and as long as it's yours, I can't eat it. That would fit with Rashi. That when I give you something to eat, I'm not necessarily giving it to you. I am, I'm sorry. I'm not necessarily giving it to you. I'm just letting you eat it. Tosvos l'chora. You know, again, Tosvos doesn't really say much here about what he would say back to Rav Chanan. But if you assume he wouldn't say back to Rav Chanan, oh, you're right, I was stupid. But Tosvos say back to Rav Chanan, no, I don't like your answer. What do you think? I didn't think of that answer. I think that whenever someone gives someone something to eat, they're giving it to them. So then Tosvos would argue on these, and Tosvos would say, whenever you invite someone over, then you are giving them the food. The truth is, there's a big discussion. This is slightly different. But there's a famous discussion about a Shilte Giborim, which is quoted by the Ramah in Simon Chav Kes 11 Ezra Sif Yudzayim. It says, if you invite me over to your house, and I put food on my plate, can I use it to be Mekadosh a girl? Right? So, there's a Rashi there in the Darm, or it's Miyuchas the Rashi. There in the Darm seems to assume when you invite me over, it's somehow my food. That's a little funny, exactly how it comes my food before I even show up. But there's a Riaz who says that if you give me food and I pick it up, I can use it for Kiddushin. Right? That Riaz is a little funny. The Riaz in the Shilte Giborim, quoted by the Ramah, if you invite me over, again, I go for a Shabbos meal, okay, Shabbos is not supposed to be Kaddish, fine. I go for Purim Suda, the Gutenbergs, and the Neil gives me a piece of chicken. I take the pulki, and I say to the girl next to me, Hare Mekudeshesli. Right? So, it works, according to the Shilte Giborim. And the Marit questions that. So, why does it work? What's the shot? You gave me this pulki. You put this chicken down on my plate. Did you mean for me to be Mekadosh a girl with it? It's a little hard to imagine that you meant that it should be mine and I should take it home and be Mekadosh a girl. A little hard to imagine. Right? So what's shot in the Shilte Giborim? So I think that would work well for Tosfos. Right? What's Tosfos saying? That by definition, when you give me food to eat, it's a kinyan. So if by definition it's a kinyan, then even though you didn't mean that I should use it for kiddushin, you meant that I should eat it. But once you give it to me, I can do whatever I want with it. So it could be that maybe svara of the Shilte Giborim that says I can do kiddushin with my portion. Again, you might say that, no, you just had in mind that I should be able to do kiddushin with it. But I think that's unlikely. You probably had in mind that I should eat it. But maybe automatically, when you want me to eat something, after all, let me just backtrack a second. If you say, can I make a phone call? And I say, sure, make a phone call. Do I mean that it should be your phone? Or that you could use it? Obviously, just you could use it. Why? Because you're giving it back to me. But when I give you something to eat, right? It's done. There's nothing to give back to me, right? I'm relinquishing it legamre. So Tosis might say, when I relinquish it legamre, if I give you something to use up and eat, and totally use up, then that is a kinyan. I'm not retaining any rights for myself.
The way that the Baal Amor presents the sheet, though, is the same sheet, is that once you start to chew it, it becomes yours.
I don't think the Balmor is the same Shita. Why? Because Tosos has to have a separate discussion for Nisina and separate for Zeila. The Balmor doesn't. So I don't think that the Balmor is the same thing. By definition.
That when you give it to the person to eat, you did not say.
Exactly.
Now,
what? Right. Now, what the Ma'arit says in the Shulchan Aruch, which is why it makes it more complicated, I didn't give you the Olam Mikovro, says the Ma'arit says, well, that might depend. Maybe when I put it on your plate, that's not the time of the Kinyan yet. It's only when you put it in your mouth that's the Kinyan. Because when I put it on your plate, maybe like it's not a done deal yet. Okay, so then you can have technicalities, but I think clearly the Shulchan Giborim lies on the side of the Tosos. Because Mehechi Tasty, when I invite you over, you could use it for Kiddushin. That's not what I had in mind. What I had in mind is you should eat it. But if you say no, when I had in mind that you should eat it, that is the Kinyan, because when I'm giving it totally to you, to have nothing left for myself, by definition that's a Kinyan, then it makes sense that maybe you should even be able to use it for Kiddushin.
I thought Rambam was saying something different. That he agreed that both according to Rashi and Tosfos that, you know, if I go to a person's house and they give me food, both of them are going to agree that I can become it. The question is, what if I don't want to become it? That Rashi was saying, if I don't want it, Balkar, it's not going to work. But Tosfos says, I don't want to eat it. I think it's different than this.
The Shulchan Aruch.
Even different than what you explain Rashi does. Even Rashi agrees that it would be a Kinyan. Just if I definitely don't want to, then I can
not
being a Kinyan.
The Rambam makes it sound like the default is that it's a Kinyan.
Yeah.
Until I think otherwise. And I put it as sort of default, it's not a Kinyan until I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, that's you're right, but I don't think that's
very
important.
The run by Yitzhakana on Erev Pesach, the way that he said it must be Asaranah because you can do bittul. You can only do bittul when something is not yours. So Haraya became Asaranah to make it not yours. You can't do bittul on something that's yours. It's the same meaning. They had to be.
Tosfos says you can't eat it if it's not yours.
You can say no, I don't want it, only if it's not yours. And Tosfos thinks you can't even say no, I don't want it in this case. We're working on the same principle that you can say, if it's not yours yet, you can say, no, I don't want it, even if you actually are holding it.
Right. Okay, I have to think of that a little more. Let me just point out one famous discussion that ties into this. The Sfas Emes on Sukkah Lamed Hei, Nan Misachim. Sfas Emes says, has a big chumrah. You ever go to someone's house for Pesach Seder?
Yes.
Whose matzah did you eat? Whose matzah did you eat?
Should be yours.
Doesn't have to be your matzah? So the Sfas Emes says, whenever you have guests over, you have to have in mind to be matzah to the matzah to them, and they have to have in mind to be konen. Otherwise, they're not yotzei matzah. Okay, that's Sfas Emes obviously going in the direction of Rashi or Tosfos.
Rashi,
right? This is the Sfas Emes.
Unless you have a rachan.
What?
Unless you have a rachan.
Ah, correct. That's why I put it this way, because I was influenced by the Sfas Emes, right? The Sfas Emes is going in the direction of Rashi, and he's assuming sort of the default is not necessarily being Kona. Sfas Emes says, you have to have in mind to be Makne the Matzah. Does anyone do that? No. So all the modern day tshuvas figure out why no one listens to the Sfas Emes. So, why did no one listen to the Sfas Emes? So it could be, why does no one listen to the Sfas Emes? So you could say the minhag ha'olam is like Tosfos. Because if I'm giving it to you to eat, then I am being makne to you. Because that's called being makne. I'm giving it to you to totally eat up and not return anything to me. It's all yours and none mine. That's called being makne.
Just want to point out, it's under Yasha that he thinks that you could say that Tosfos only said this as a chumrah by Yisurim, that it's your automatically kona chametz, but not necessarily you could use this to be yotzei matzah. You can't necessarily make a sushtal between.
You can't necessarily make a sushtal, so there's such thing as being kona l'chumrah by Yisurim,
right,
which you learn from Avodah Zarah. Perhaps there's some Rishonim. Okay, that is a good ha'ara. That is an interesting ha'ara. L'maisa, what if you hold like Rashi, having justified minhag ha'olam? So you could say, how do you justify minhag ha'olam? You could say, A, that most people have in mind to be kona unless they object, right? That's Rav Chanan. Even Rashi admits most people are Kohenes. Only if you object, you're not Kohenes. Or, the way a lot of Achronim justify the Minhag HaOlam, based on, if you assume like Rashi, is like the Makor Chaim and others. Exactly. Matzah doesn't need lachem. Many, many Achronim hold that matzah doesn't need lachem. It never says in the Gemara that you need to own your matzah.
It
what? Now, the problem is, it almost says. By lulav, it mamash says you need to own it, right? All these Gemaras. By matzah, it never says you need to own it. It says you need matzah schen, and that excludes by sersheni, which is mamon gavoa. So it almost says you need to own your matzah. But the Makor Chaim and others say, no, that's a special drasha to exclude things that are kadosh, like Meiser Sheni. But it does, you don't mamish need to own it. The Shulchan Aruch never says you mamish need to own your matzah. Just says you can't steal your matzah. So that the big machlokas achronim, many achronim, such as the Makor Chaim and others, say that matzah doesn't need lachem. So, this is a big nachmina of this discussion. According to Rashi, then maybe you should be machlok like the Sfas Emes. But according to Tosfos Pasha, you shouldn't be machlok that the Minhag HaOlam is correct, unlike the Sfas Emes. According to Tosfos Pasha, if I'm giving it to you to eat, then I'm being machlok to you. So this could be a very sophistic machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos. When I give you something to eat, is it automatically a kinyan? Or is it? Depends. Maybe yes, maybe not. Depends what we have in mind. And Dani and I, or Rav Chanan Sfas Emes, will argue what the default is. But I don't think that's an equity machlokas. Now, this is one way of analyzing machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, right? And had enough minas for matzah. Okay, relevant to Pesachim, even though Sfas Emes happens to not be in Pesachim. The also enough means, I guess, for answering questions out of my interpreting strange Gemaras in the dark. I always like to figure out what's behind the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. It doesn't sound like they're arguing about psychology, right? They're not just talking about what most people think. It sounds like Tosfos saying automatically it's a Kenyan. And Rashi's saying, it depends what you say one way or say the other way. So then what are they arguing about? What's the yisod of the Machlokas? What? What do you mean?
How much you need that matter once a person could be doing something with it. And if the other person...
Okay, I think you could say even a little better. Right, Bleich had an article about this recently. In Tradition or something?
The Tentacle.
Oh, yeah, here. I don't need to quote Tradition to you. Right?
You have to explain.
What was Ray Bleich talking about? Yeah, no, it's not about, like, science fiction or anything. It's purely about philosophy. To Dr. Makotis. But what's Rav Bleich's Hakira? This is Rav Lichtenstein's favorite Hakira in like all of Dina Modus. What's Rav Bleich's Hakira there? The only difference is that Rav Lichtenstein, whenever he has a Hakira, likes to like say both sides are true. And whenever Rav Bleich has a Hakira, likes to say one side is true. not just true, but. What's Rav Bleich's Hakira? Are you the editor?
That doesn't mean I understand everything you're
at. Okay. Anyways, we should work on this. Kedai. Some people in Skedive understand everything they write. So, it's already like Hakira. It's like pretty classic Hakira. What does Bailus mean? Right, Bleich, what does Bailus mean? So, right, Bleich says, a lot of people think Bailus means practical rights and control over something. Meaning, tachlis, who's in control? And Rav Bleich argues, he says, no, bailus means a theoretical status in Shemayim that Eliyahu HaNavi knows as to who it belongs. Right? Rav Bleich says, bailus means there's a big record book up in Shemayim, and every chetz in the world has the name of someone next to it. That's what he calls it tentacles, right? Basically, like, I have my tentacles, they're stuck onto something, it makes me the bailum, regardless of the practicalities. Doesn't really matter where it is and who's in control and who does what. It's theoretical. So Rav Bleich says Bailus is theoretical in that article he just published in Dani's Journal. but he pointed out that a lot of people think that Bailus is practical. And maybe this is a classic Hakira. Now, I mean classic going back hundreds of years, but at least, you know, classic going back many, many, many decades. Is Bailus theoretical? Or is Bailus practical? Is bialos just a way of saying lemaisa who's in charge and who has power and control, and we call that bialos? Or no, bialos has nothing to do with the real world. Bialos is a theoretical status, like Isser v'Hetzer. And then who would be taking which side of the Hakira? Right? If maybe the Yesod of the Machlokes argument, if someone gives you a different Yesod of the Machlokes, they'll be very happy. If the Yesod of the Machlokes is the argument of the nature of bialos,
Tosfos is practical.
Exactly. Maybe the Yesod is, Tosfos says bialos is defined by practical control. Bialos is practical. And Rashi says bialos has a theoretical status. Okay, where life likes to call tentacles. But I don't think that's necessary. Right? What does Tosa say? The definition of bialos is who is in charge and has control and can do whatever they want with this. If I give it to you to eat, and you're eating it, then it's totally yours and not mine at all. It doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter if we write a contract saying who's the bialos and who isn't. Lemaisa, you're the bialos. And I'm not, because I gave it to you. And I can't say I didn't give it to you. I did give it to you, because I gave you all the power over it, and I retained no power for myself. On the other hand, Rashi might say, no, buying was just a matter of a theoretical haloshem. Theoretically, if Moshe Ruim belongs to Shimon, have nothing to do with who's actually in control of it. And therefore, if I invite you over to eat my matzah, or my pizza, or my chametz, right? My matzah or my chametz. And I tell you, here, have it, it's yours, then it's yours. If I tell you I'm keeping it, or you have in mind that I should keep it and you just want to eat it, then it's mine. It's a theoretical status, so we can decide whatever we want. So it could be the soda that machlok is a very soda de hakira of the nature of bialos. In general, in the Velt, they like to tie in a few other classic issues to this question of what the nature of bialos. Like, for example, is there bialos on Yisrael HaNah? So people like to say, if you define bialos practically, then all Yisrael HaNah are hefker, because no one can do anything with them. But if you define bialos more theoretically, then even though you can't do anything with Yisrael HaNah, it's still yours. Or the machlokes about, what about something that's lost, irretrievably lost, right? Zutol Shoyam, right? What about something that fell to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean? So, if someone finds it, it's mutter. The question is if mutter because it has no bialim, or is it mutter because it's yaish? So they say, again, if you find bialim practically, once it falls into the ocean, then it's not mine. If you find bialim theoretically, then it is mine, except that most people are misyaish from it. So this is a classic hakir which is used to explain a lot of sugyas in Shas about the nature of bialim, and could be that you saw in Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos here.
The good side of saying that maybe a theoretical like a theoretical status is Bezin override that? Let's say Bezin awards me something, but really in Shalom they're wrong. Is that mine or is it not mine?
You're not saying, well, that could be a little complicated because there is such a concept of Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. what if Bezin awards me something? What if Bezin awards me something incorrectly? So if you look at this practically, then it's clearly mine at this point. If you look at bialos theoretically, then maybe everyone thinks it's mine, but it's really not. And then, like it was a lulav, and I go up to Shemayim, it'll turn out I wasn't really yotzei lulav. I hear the taina. I think the maaser probably wouldn't make enough mina. A, because hefker bezin hefker might mean they can override the theoretical. And B, because either way, the gemara says when you lose a court case, you're misyaish anyway. So once you're misyaish, then you let the other guy take it if he wants anyway. So I don't think it's enough for me now. But I hear your question. Okay, that's one way of analyzing the machlokas between Rashi and Tosos. They're arguing about what happens when I give you food to eat, which might be a real fundamental machlokas about the nature of bialos, perhaps. That's the Kovach Yerim's way. However, the Avnei Miluim has a different way of understanding what Rashi and Tosos are arguing about. Yeah?
Those footnotes here. The notes, is that who wrote those?
Who actually wrote those footnotes? I'm not sure, because some of the footnotes in the Avnei Lurim are by his son-in-law, right? The famous Maskil Shir. I'm not sure if those footnotes are him or are his son-in-law. I know his son-in-law wrote the index to the Avnei Nevu'im and wrote some footnotes to the Avnei Nevu'im. I'm not sure if his son-in-law wrote all of them or not. You have to buy in and like fancy Avnei Nevu'im with the Mavo. Because it might be his son-in-law. Son-in-law, what does Shir stand for? Maybe Shlomo Yehuda Rappaport or something? Anyway, he had a son-in-law who was one of the famous, like, you know, if you don't like him, you call him one of the early Maskilim. If you do like him, you'd call him one of the Gedolim, who people you misused as a source for the Maskilim. But very fascinating fellow. So I'm not sure. It could be the son-in-law. But either way, Lamaisa, what did the Avnei Nevu'im say they're arguing about? The other side, right? The second way of understanding the Yisod HaMachlokes, this is the Avnei Nevu'im, or maybe it's a son-in-law, I'm not sure. I think most of the footnotes of Avnei Nevu'im are from a son-in-law, Taka. Says that, no, they're arguing about if you steal something from a guy, are you Chayav Bachrayis or not? Tos says you're Chayav Bachrayis, and what does Rashi say? Yeah. Exactly. Maybe Rashi argues and says, you're not Chayav Bachrayis. How many shitas are there about when you steal from a guy, what's the status of the money you stole? At least three. Good. What are the three shitas about if you steal from a guy, what happens?
One
is the Rambam, which is your Chayav Lehoshiv and Lechora, your Chayav Bachrayis, right? And who would agree with the Rambam, obviously? Tosos. So Tosin's with the Rambam, who's a very machmir shita, right? That when you steal from a guy, you're chayiv b'shav, you're chayiv b'chrayis, the exact same as Gezel Yisrael.
Is that because of the Shalom, or is it saying that even Midaraisa?
So both Tosos and the Rambam are not 100% clear if it's the Araisa or the Rabbanan, but clearly it's a real din and dini modus, right? Regardless of the circumstances, because Tosos makes it an absolute, right, pircha. Okay, what's the second shita? Second shita is that there's no chiyuv hashava. So why are there three shitas? What? All right, but sometimes there's no kiddush hashem.
There's no chiyuv, but it doesn't have yours.
Exactly. What are the other two shitas? Right, because if you look at another shita, what's another shita? Ein chiyuv hashava, and therefore naaseh mamon hagazlin. There's no chiyuv hashava. You can keep it. There's no chiyuv hashava, and it's yours. Could that be what Rashi holds? There's no chiyuv hashava, and it's yours. Right? Because when there's no chiyuv hashava, you just keep it.
No.
No, because then it would become a Shel Yisrael. Right? Who holds this? No, Yireim holds the next thing. This is, for example, the Ramah there. What does the Ramah say? If I'm a Kaddish, a girl with Gevel Akum, then it's valid, it's really my money. Yeah, for Kiddush Hashem, sometimes I have to return it. But it's really my money, right? This is the Ramah, based on the Ma'ariv Weil. He says there's no Chiyuv Hashava. If there's no Chiyuv Hashava, then it's mine. Okay, I mean, so Kiddush Hashem, I might have to return it, but it's my money. And if it's my money, then I can be a Kaddish girl. But that's not going to defend Rashi, because if it's my money, how can I eat it? Rashi obviously holds, and now obviously, if you take this approach, Rashi, what does the Rambam say? There's no Chiyuv Hashava, but it's still his property. What does Rashi say? Yeah, what does Yireim say? Yeah, if I steal from a guy, there's no chiyuv hashava. But it's still his, right? What made it mine? Fine. He says maybe get a lock of his mother. Maybe it's perfectly fine to steal it, it's perfectly fine not to give it back. But it still doesn't belong to me, right? It's still his. Like, if he comes and takes it, he still has the right to take it. So Yireim says that, right there, that's the three shitas. Either I have to give it back to him, or I don't have to give it back to him, and therefore it's mine forever. Or I don't have to give it back to him, but it's still his. Right? That's what the Rambam says. That I still can't be Yotzei Arminah with it, still can't be Yotzei Lula, because it's still his. And the Avnei Nevu'im said, if Rashi held only like the Rambam, right, if Rashi held, you had to give back Chayav Bachrayis, or be also to eat. If Rashi held that you don't have to give it back and it's yours forever, then it would also be also to eat. The Avnei Nevu'im says, maybe Rashi will only be Rambam, that I'm not trying to give it back, but it's still his money. I'm just not trying to give it back. Like, I as a Gavra am allowed to hold on to his money, but that doesn't give me rights to it. That just means that, like, I could be a little hefkerish, and I could, you know, I could do whatever I want, but it's still his money. And that could be what's going on with Rashi. Rashi says, if I steal Gezel Akum, it's still his money and I don't have to give back. And I'm not Chayiv Bach Rayas. And therefore, he's a rice, I could eat it.
You're in that you quote across this line. Isn't he just saying that until I leave his Rashus, it's not mine?
No. It doesn't mean Kalkabal Lulav Rashus Ogham means until it like leaves his house.
So what's
called? It's not going to catch him. I brought it home. I bring it to Shul. I yant it.
So how
it means until there's some Kenyan that transfers the Bailus, it's still his.
How can you do that once you already have it?
How could I make a Kenyan once I already have it? Maybe a Shinoi, for example. That's what he means. Like, until I do a Shinoi, it's... Now, we know that Rashi and Sanhedrin... Does Rashi and Sanhedrin sound like there's a Chiyuv HaShavah or not? What does Rashi sound like say in Sanhedrin? That's only Drabbanan, which would imply that there's no Chiyuv HaShavah. Or if there is, it's only Mishum Kiddush Hashem. So Rashi and Sanhedrin already has to be one of these two Pshatim. Now, we don't know whether he holds like the Ramah or holds like the Urey. But it's narrowed down to two out of three. So if Rashi really... holds like, right, definitely doesn't hold that there's a Chiyuv HaShavah min HaDin. There's an absolute Chiyuv HaShavah. So, if Rashi holds like the Reim, then that would justify the Avnei Luin's answer. So we have two possible points that Rashi and Tosfos might be arguing. According to Rochanan, they're arguing about when I give you, when a Goy, or I assume a Jew as well, gives me something to eat. Is that a Kenyan automatically, or is it not a Kenyan automatically? Which is a very fundamental machlokas. According to the Avnei Luim, they're arguing about Gezel Akum. Do I have a Chiyuv HaShavah in Gezel Akum? Or neither of them holds that I get Bailus. Either one of the Tosfos holds is a Chiyuv HaShavah. Rashi holds there's no Chiyuv HaShavah, but it's still his.
Rashi and Sanhedrin says Drabbanan because of Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem, or exactly?
No, he said Drabbanan because of Kiddush Hashem.
So
that, he says there's an Itzur Gezel Akum, Drabbanan because of Kiddush Hashem. He doesn't talk about Chiyuv HaShavah, but certainly he would say there's no Chiyuv HaShavah. Yes, it's not a welcome Kiddush Hashem.
So then how come, so for the Avnei Luim to then say that applies across the board, and now we have a Isser, or we have a Chiyuv Drabbanan to do a Hashava, but that it doesn't apply in all cases. So
no, the Avnei Luim doesn't say there's a Chiyuv Drabbanan Hashava. The Avnei Luim says for Rashi, like the Reim, there's no Chiyuv Hashava. There's no Chiyuv Hashava, but it still belongs to him.
So how does he explain Rashi?
That's also to steal in the first place you from Kiddush Hashem. Rashi's not talking about Hashav in Sanhedrin. He's talking about what his mother steal in the first place. So I shouldn't have stolen because of Kiddush Hashem. Once I did steal, I don't give it back. Or I certainly don't give, I certainly don't always have to give it back. But it's not mine. And then that would be perfect. That means no rice, I can eat it. I'm not sure if I answered your question. I'm not sure if I understood it. Okay, I think you could try again.
Maybe I'm just not understanding it correctly. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Is what you said? I'm not sure there's any bad. At the end of the piece, he then says that maybe once you have even the Chiyuv Drabbanan, that's going to make it, that can make you be Chayav Achrayus.
So if you assume in Rashi that you have a Chiyuv Drabbanan, right, that you have a Chiyuv Drabbanan in Hashava, and that's like a serious Chiyuv Drabbanan, like, not just if there's Kiddush Hashem, but like an absolute chiv, then that could be Mechayiv Yonah Achrayus. But I think that's, lav davku, you assume so for Rashi. It's a big Kiddush say you're Mechayiv Yonah Achrayus and you're Mechayiv Hashavah. It's a big Kiddush say you're Mechayiv Hashavah. So I would not stick that into Rashi. You could, but I wouldn't. I don't think there's a need to backtrack. Okay, there are one or two other shitas in the Rishonim here, besides Rashi and Tosos and the Rav Bez Din. sorry. What are the other sheets in the Rishonim here? What other sheet?
The regular rabbi said there is a chitimsa because you could stick it somewhere.
Exactly. So the rabbi, the Tosfos Rosh here, says the same thing. Tosfos Rosh is also often influenced by the rabbi. You might notice. Sometimes mentioning his name, sometimes not. The rabbi says that the Ravid, he's basically similar to who? Maybe not a circular question. I think he's basically saying, like, I understand where Tosfos is coming from. I could just find you one technical exigency. Right? So what does the Ravid say? The Ravid says, technically, you can find one case. What's the one case where you can find where you can eat chametz of a guy and you don't have chiyav achrayas, and you don't and you don't have a matana?
Somebody sticks it down your throat.
Exactly. Tachav lo chavero bebeisav liya. Someone, not the owner. The owner stuck it down your throat, lechor, that would be matana. Someone else sticks it down your throat, beis avliya. To what part of the beis avliya?
The chak to get it back.
Exactly. The makom she efshar lahak zero ella al yedei hadchak. Right. Basically, what's he trying to figure out? This is a gzela case. It's not that you have permission of the owner. Someone comes and takes chametz of a guy and sticks it down your throat. Now, what would happen? If that guy stuck it down your throat to a place where you couldn't get it back, like he did such a good job and stuck it all the way into your stomach, then there wouldn't be any point discussing it halachically. Like, there's no question at this point, right? If someone stuck it down your throat in a place where you could easily cough it up, then why would that be a problem? Because you would cough it up, and if you didn't cough it up, then you're a goslin and you're chayav b'achrayis. But if the guy stuck it down in a place you could only cough it up like you have chak, then you could eat the chametz of a guy, and you wouldn't be a goslin. You would not be a goslin. Why would you not be a goslin if he stuck it to the place where it would take the chak to cough it up? Like, why if he stuck it like here, I would be a goslin. But if he stuck it here, I wouldn't be a goslin.
Apparently you're not high enough to go that far to give it back.
Right, so apparently, you see, that's what the Raavad sounds like. Tosfos Rosh sounds a little differently. I think either you could explain one way is because if I can easily cough it up, then I'm a goslin for swallowing it. But if it's the chak to cough it up, we don't call that zela. If not zela, the only way to return it is al yedei chak. Right? And the other shot is that if it's so far that it would be the chak to cough it up, then it might not be worth money anymore, and if it's not worth any money, then it's not zela because he's not losing anything, at least if you assume that gzela is defined by making someone lose something. So I think that you can interpret it in two ways. He sounds a little more. Why? Either because it's not worth anything, and once it's not worth anything, then I can't be chayav in gzela. How can I be chayav in achrayis if I didn't make you lose any money? Right? If it was all the way down here, that even if I caught it all the way down, it wouldn't be worth any money. And therefore, I can't be chayav achrayis, or because it's not gzela if it would have been a dechak to return it. It's only gzela if I could easily return your thing. But if it would be a dechak to return your thing, then that's not considered my gzela, and that might be what the Raavad sounds like. Okay, that's the Raavad. sorry. The Baal Amor seems to have a fifth formulation. What is the Baal Amor?
The Raavad essentially basically defended Rashi by giving a defensive.
Yeah, except I don't know if I would call this a defense of Rashi because. Do you think Rashi means that Okimta? Okay. I prefer not to call it a defense of Rashi because, like, you think Rashi wouldn't mean such a restricted Okimta. But you think the Rabbanim would bother making zero only in the case of Tachamu Chavir, Mashiach, Yitzhak, Hassel, Ibn Yitzhak, maybe. But he's certainly, you know, parallel to what he's defending Rashi. The Baal Amor is a fifth formulation. What did the Baal Amor say? He's also similar to Tosfos, right? But he doesn't go through Tosfos' things. He just says that technically it's always going to be usher because how are you kona it? Now when you eat it, he said?
Chewy.
Exactly. Kona al yedei le'isa. When you chew it, you're kona it. It's a little unclear what he would say if you swallowed it without chewing. But he says when you chew it, you're kona it. You have to figure out why when you chew it, you're kona it, according to Baal Amor. Why when you chew it, are you kona it?
Maybe if Tosfos is assuming that the reason you're automatically kona it is because the guy gives it to you in a way that it's returnable, once it's chewed up, it's as good as digested.
Right. Okay. So it could be, and obviously his point is you chew it before you swallow it. So by the time you chew it, it's already yours, and therefore it's usser. So it could be because he's like the sort we said in Tosfos. Maybe he thinks just giving it to you is not a kinyan yet. But once you chew it, now no one else has any link to this, and you totally are the only link to this. So maybe chewing makes it automatically bias. Or maybe he thinks it's midin shinoi. Right. There is a din of shinoi konad. There's a big chakir with a shinoi konad. There's a specific din of zela. Or is it more qualious din that whoever like creates something into a new object owns it? At least if it's a real shinoi, that totally gives it a new tzura. So he could mean because shinoi is kone, at least a very, very big shinoi. Or he could mean because practically, like, no one else has any link to this and you have all the stake in this. So that is the balamor.
Balamor is saying that you can be kone a non-Jew's chametz situation.
He's saying automatically you're kone when you chew it. Why are you automatically kone when you chew it? Either because you give it a new tzura or because now you are the only one who has any control or has any stake in this.
So therefore achila would
therefore technically it's always aser. Right. He says technically it's always aser because you're kona when you chew it. Again, it's a little funny. What happens if you what do they call kids call it now? Did you snarf it? Is that what they call it without chewing? Balamati yata? No? Balachamit. What happens if you swallow it without chewing? Then I'm not sure what you would say.
So didn't the writer come specifically call that comedy in Balamor, so
right, the Baal
Amor
might say, even if it was Makom Shiyu Shalach Zeh Chak, although I even wonder if there's any chewing. Once it's down there, you probably don't chew it. You probably just swallow it. So the Baal Amor really, this is a little funny. He didn't even relate to that case, right? Because there is no, I don't think there's chewing. Like, if I'm chewing it, then it's Eshel Hachzer Bekalos, right?
Anything else. Says, Eino Kone Belisa.
What?
I think the Rav and Dafka said, Eino Kone Belisa. And it's far, so far down, so it's not. I think he like goes both, he gives both the...
Let's find his washroom. No, he says, if you say when you chew it, you're kona, what if he stuck it so far down? I think that means that you don't chew it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he addresses the least, and it sounds like you're not chewing.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So what would Baltimore say back? I don't know. We're not going to get into that. Because Takula, right at the point.
Is it possible to say that Rashi is arguing with Tosas or the Baltimore based on the timing? Like, when it is that you're kona versus when the achila occurs? I'm going to say, for instance, with Baltimore. If Baltimore says that steal it at Bashas Le'isa, and then you do the Maisa Achilas Isser after that.
Could so Rashi think that, say, that as long as the Le'isa started the Goyus, then it's still okay?
Right.
I was thinking about that, but I'm just not sure. I don't like this one.
How do we define when the Achila occurs versus when the Gzela occurs? Is it so clear that we know when each one occurs?
Well, when the Gzela occurs
is exactly what they're discussing. The Gzela occurs when it gets into your stomach?
Right, so that's not crazy. See, the Chidushir Ran, I don't want to get it. The Chidushir Ran just says, he says very general lashon, which means you can say whatever you want. He says, oh, well, if you eat it, then of course you were kona, without explaining the mechanism. So then you could say something like, he thinks you're only kona mamish when you eat it, and then he and Rashi would be arguing about timing. Right? He says, only mamish when you do the real achila, is it yours? And Rashi, and he says, but then it's yours, both, you know, gizna obiyoz and bankachas and chumra. And Rashi says, no, since when you started eating, it wasn't yours.
Yeah.
But for Tosfos and for the Baal Amor, for example, I think everyone agrees that when you chew it, it's still plenty of time to do the Aveira from now on. So I don't think Rashi can be arguing the Baal Amor and saying, if you chew it, Behetra, that's okay. I think everyone agrees that in the middle of chewing, it becomes Usr, that should be Usr. Because if you swallow it, it's Usr. That's why I don't think.
And nobody would say that the Aveira occurs sometime after, sometime before the chewing.
Right, I don't think so. I think that's too hard to say. Okay, yeah.
In that case of the rival, is it that the non-Jew stuck it down his throat? Or what if a Jew stuck it down?
So that's the Achronim debate. What if a Jew stuck it down his throat? Because what might the problem be? If a Jew stuck it down his throat, then that Jew is Chayav Achrayus. And if that Jew is Chayav Achrayus, then maybe it's considered Chomet Shel Yisrael. So that's a good point. That's why some are going to say Goy has to stick it down your throat. It's easier that way. If the Jew sticks it down your throat, it gets complicated. It might be hard to defend if the Jew stuck it down your throat. So let's say Goy is stuck it down your throat.
The achila that you're doing, you're doing it because you're being forced to do it. So it's not like... classic case of achila that's asur and pesach.
Right, although Bali Devchak, you could spit it up. Right, obviously, if you stuck it down so that you couldn't regurgitate it, then of course it's mutter, because you have no choice. Right? I mean, I'll be cautious. But here, al de'ezchak, you could spit it up, and clearly, you're not allowed to do an aveir just because it would be dechak to avoid it. Here, they have to say it, not an aveir, it still belongs to the guy. Right? The aveir is not mutter just because it would be dechak to avoid it. Yeah, you have to be doche to avoid aveir, so that's what being a Jew means.
Just like zela.
Hmm?
Just like zela.
No, because. I'm not, but I don't mean that it's mutter to the avera of zela. What I mean is that this might not be called zela. If something's already in my rishus, if something's already in my rishus, and I just don't give it back al yedei chak, that might not be a ma'isik zela.
Okay, why can we say something about a chila? Maybe it's not about a chila. It's already down.
Can you tell I'm belaya? I haven't eaten. But once it's in my rishus, already my rishus, I think that's the chiluk you might have to make. Right? It's a whole discussion.
That
the
machlokes for Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlakish, that one come in here?
That is a good question. Everyone seems to agree that you need to swallow it in order, the bein Rabbi Yochanan, bein Rabbi Shlakish.
That's a prerequisite before you get to machlokes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's the first part of our Gemara. That's Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Let's start looking at Rav at least then. What does Rava say? Let's just find it. Rava Amar Liyolam Rav Shimon Uv Rav Shimon Knasa Kadosh Hov Avar Lev Vayu Rava Yimatzei. Right, so Rava says that really our Mishnah is Rav Shimon. If our Mishnah is Rav Shimon, why is the Chamish Avar Lev Pesach Shal Yisrael Aser? The answer is the Knas, because you violated Vayu Rava Yimatzei. That's of course how we paskin, right? How do we know that we paskin like Rav Shimon, that there's no issue d'oraisa after Zmano? Hafadaf Lamanam Aleph. Rava says, Shalob Zmano, Bein Minu Min Shalom Yinam Otzer, Rav Shimon. Rava passed like Rav Shimon, Hafadaf Lamanam Aleph. So for sure, we passed like Rav Shimon after Zmano. And that means that Chomesh Avul Pesach is not issue d'oraisa, it's only a knas. And that's how we assume Halacha L'maisa. Now, when it comes to this knas, it's a little funny. This knas is a little funny because not for a second. Can I assume people got through a part two in the Makaros?
No.
Did anyone get the part two in the Makaros? What? Okay, partially. Okay. So. If it was a knas, what might we expect to find if it's a knas? What halachic nafkaminas might we expect to find if we say it's a knas and not that the chetz of chametz becomes aser?
The only person who's over there.
So we might expect that, right? What might we expect to find if it's a knas, right? Right, knas. What would we expect? A, we would expect that it should be mutter la'achirim, right? Because a knas should only be on the person who did it, or usually what do we say for a knas, the person who did it, or?
Family.
What?
Family.
His family, or the people, the person who did it for, right? So if I kept chametz for you, then it's just for you. But not Stam and all the Jews in the world, right? Who holds that? It's mutter la'achirim. What? The allegedly the Rif. Right? Why do I say allegedly the Rif? Because we don't actually have anything in the Rif himself, but and we don't have him quoted by many Rishonim, even if we didn't have him himself, all the Rishonim quoted him, that would be good enough. But Rabbeinu Manoach quotes a Shut HaRif, who said that it's Mutter L'Acherim, and the Sefer HaMichtam, did I put the Michtam? Brackets. The Sefer, okay, doesn't matter, you have Rabbeinu Manoach. The Sefer HaMichtam quotes Yesh Omrim, that this is the Yesh Omrim in the Michtam and the Rif in the Rabbeinu Manoach. Right, so there's this sort of shadowy shita out there that it's Mutter L'Acherim, but obviously that's not the mainstream. Okay, what else would we expect if it was a Knas? We might expect that if it was a Shogeg, or at least if it was the Onis, right? that it should be mutter, right? So, okay. Does anyone actually hold that? That b'shogeg or ba'ones, there is no knas?
Rav has to run.
What?
Rav has to run.
Which run?
The Rav, he says, you're over. The Kesem Mishnah quotes it. He says, if you're over the Rav, or over the Rav, he says, seems to be only fine in cases where you're over.
Aha. So the Ran might, if you want to be dayak in the Ran, at least it would be an argument from silence. Okay, where's the Avar. Hova Avar Leva Yuravan Matze, right? Omi Daraisa, Omi Drabana. Right, so maybe Ran. The truth is that the Michtam quotes the Yesh Omrim, who says B'shogeg Rav Ones, there's no knas.
If B'shogeg Rav Ones, just means B'shogeg Rav Ones says over and by your out by Matze, so then after they suck, it might be
right.
The Rush also says the Bavli holds.
The Rush says the Bavli holds like that.
Because Yesh Omrim is saying that if you find it after Pesach.
And he says the Bavli disagrees. No, there is talking about when you're a vato. That's a different angle. He's not saying because you're a shogeg. He's saying because you're a yotzei from pitzel. But he admits if you weren't mevato for some reason, let's say you were shogeg and you also weren't mevato, he wasn't trying to be mevato.
Who's the run in the group of being older? Maybe you're over the show, you know, is it over bonus?
Correct. One could be Mechalik and Shogi and Onus. Interestingly, I haven't found anyone who's Mefurish Mechalik and Shogi and Onus. Although you think it would be a logical thing based on, okay, where we'll go in 1 second. I'm sorry. What else might you expect to find if it's a Knas?
This might be a little bit weird, but Does Bezin go after people like Bodhi Knas Pater? Is there such a thing by this type of Knas?
No, that's only by monetary Knas. It's not by. Like, this is the Knas similar to, right, Ein Vatan Lusso Chachila, and if you were, then it's Aser, right, and Mevashel B'Shabbos, right, there's perhaps it's a Knas, and many other things we find. Basically, the whole Sugya in Gittin, like Nun Beis and Nun Gimel, discusses these things. But what else might we expect?
Maybe condiment, meaning it should only last someone like a Shabbos, like the Shabbos.
Okay, but that I'm not so convinced, because the point of Shabbos is that all you gained was you got it a little earlier, so it's enough of a knas to make you not eat it right away. Although there are some things that are forever on Shabbos, like the Vashon Shabbos. But over here, you gained having this, and you wouldn't have had it at all. So the knas should be that you never eat it.
You could make the chametz after that.
What?
Could have made the chametz.
Yeah, but you would have to spend more money. So, let me ask you one other question. How about if someone steals my chametz? If someone steals my chametz, what do you think the din should be?
For
who? What?
For who? Or is that part of the question?
For me. If someone steals my chametz.
Does he steal it before Pesach?
He steals it before Pesach, and I'm stuck. I can't do anything about it.
If you're honest, it sounds like the same order.
Right, sounds like it, right? So basically, what about, I'll say, Gozal Chametz, right? Or what about Nigzal?
Why is it different to Anus?
What? It's different to Anus because an Anus, it's never so clear the guy's real. What do you mean on Anus? Like, maybe I coulda, maybe I just say I'm Anus. Like, Anus is always shady, right? But Anus is always shady. What do you mean Anus? I was sick, I couldn't burn my chametz. Yeah, maybe you just didn't want to burn your chametz, right? As opposed to nigzal, then, like, it's just, it's not just onus, it's like, out of my rishos legamre. So maybe nigzal is just a great onus. What the din? If someone steals my chametz, does it become asur banotami or not?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because
that's the classic gemara, right? Gozal chametz over l'pesach, omer l'harishach olav anecha. And he could be Yotze and say Rishon Chol Vanecha. What's the Chiddush? even though I can't use it, and I still get messed over, right? So, the Nod Bihuda says, the famous Nod Bihuda in Madura Kama, Simen Chof, the Nod Bihuda Nigzal, right, basically, you would have said, it's Mutter Le Nigzal, and this is the sheet of the Nod Bihuda, right, Kama, Orachayim, Simen Chof. What? What does he do with the Gemara? Anyone want to see if you're as clever as the Nod Bihuda? I mean, not really, but... anyone want to see if you're as clever as the Nod Bihuda? What about that Gemara? He actually has many Polish riots for this. Says, that Brysa, that's Rabbi Yehuda talking. Of course, according to Rabbi Yehuda, becomes Asir Bahana. But according to Rabbi Yehuda says, just din the Chetzah Shal Chametz, right? What did you say? Chetzah of Chametz stays Asir Vizel, right? Chetzah of Chametz is like Chetzah of Bas Vachalov. Once it's Asir, it's Asir. Right? Chetzah is Nevela. Once it's Asir, it's Asir. Right? But according to Rav Shimon, there's no need of a Rishon Chol Panecha. He returns it and you eat it.
What? Why is that a real
owner? Uh-huh. So that's a good question. But if you assume, so you have to, most people assume that I can't do Bittul. Well, either you could say, well, either maybe you could say I did Bittul, but nonetheless in the Knesset, but most people assume that I can't do Bittul because for Bittul it needs to be Bershusi. And so just like I can't sell it or remakdish it, I also can't even vatel it. That's what most halacha l'maisa, if someone's chametz was stolen, I would tell them to do bittel, you know, just to be on the safe side. But most achronim assume that bittel doesn't work. What else might I expect to find if it was really a knas? What if? I wasn't over at Bali Rabbani Matze. What if I wasn't over at Bali Rabbani Matze? Then what would you expect? That it should be Mutter, no? Why should it be a class? What are cases when I didn't violate Bali Rabbani Matze?
Rashi, when you're away, when you leave before a certain time.
Okay, maybe Rashi when I leave before a certain time. Although those are not the ones discussed by the Shonen here, but that's good. Okay. Okay, but you're all right. Right, how about Hefker or Bittel or Viveso Shalgoy Limanda Omar Shalova? Right, there's Machot Yishon. The Onam assume that if it's in the house of a Goy, then I don't violate my Ravali Matse. So, what if I give it into a Goy? Not as a Matana. Or what if I'm not good? Or what if I'm a vatel? What if I don't violate Bar Rabbah Yimatze? Then you would think that... there should be no knas. And who in fact holds there's no knas? Who holds there's no knas in the case of Hefker and Bittel, etc.? What? The Arzaruah? That's what you said?
Yeah, no, that's how she puts it.
Right, exactly. The Arzaruah said, yeah, if I'm makir I chametz, and then I... come back and find you after Pesach. There's no class. I didn't buy it by Rabbi Matze. I didn't do anything wrong.
And
what?
Since you can do Amenas.
Yeah, he even says Gvalik, Ma Baya. I didn't buy it by Rabbi Matze.
Yeah, the case that we need to prepare at the real time says you're not over by Rabbi Matze is because there's no Chametz, that there's no Isaac Pesach.
Yes. You see, everyone agrees. A Chetzah that's not bar by Rabbi Matze, I think everyone agrees there's no Knas. And both the Ma'ar Chalava and the Michtam bring a Yesh Omrim. Right? Maram Chalava Michtam B'Shem Yesh Omrim. I always wonder who these cool Yesh Omrims are. I mean, here it might be. Here it's probably not the Rosemar. Both quote Yesh Omrim who say, yeah, of course, if I didn't violate by your Haimat, say, then what's the problem? So basically, there is like a Shitas Yachid out there in like many, many issues, which says, look, a Knas is only a Knas. If you're in a Varian, a Knas is a punishment. If you're an Avarian, you get a Knas. If you're not an Avarian, you don't get a Knas. Vizehu. In which case, only an Avarian should get a Knas. The problem, of course, is that no one paskins like any of these. No one paskins like any of these deus. Right? No one paskins like any of these opinions. So, no one, clearly everyone passes Asul Acherim. I mean, it's hard to say it's not Asur L'Achirim, because it's first Gemara and Chulin Daf Dalet. I have no idea how the Rift gets out of that Gemara and Chulin Daf Dalet, unless he says they'll leave the Dorm Yehuda, right? Who holds that as an objectivist or Kretza. No one possibly says Mutter if you were over Vishol Yerub Ones. No one possibly says Mutter L'Nigzal like that. No Yehuda says we don't hold like that Brisa. And no one paskins that it's mutter if you're Mevatel, or if you're Mafker, or if you're Mafkin Biagai, according to the Gaonim and the Ramban, and everyone who says you don't bother by your Vali Matzei. So the question is, why don't we paskin? Why don't we paskin like those days?
Are we Mitzarethim for to make a kula?
The only case where Mitzarethim to make a kula is B and D. If you're Mevatel, you're Chametz. And we're nenas and couldn't burn it, then it's a big, tremendous machlokes achronim on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, whether, and maybe we'll see why, whether there's a knas or not.
It's Rabbi
Rees spoke about, right? Rabbi spoke about this
Noda Behuda. He spoke about the guy who's like passed away and was Morish all the stuff to him, and he didn't even know.
Ah, no, that wasn't because he. Oh, I don't remember one of the cases. If he was Morish before Pesach, right? If he was Morish on Pesach, then you say he was never Koneid.
Yeah.
But that's no good as cool. But if he was Morish before Pesach, then he was Koneid, then the only excuse you could have is maybe he wasn't Mevair, maybe he wasn't Mevair Be'ones. So if he did Bittel, Halacha L'maisa, I'll give you a Halacha L'maisa. If you didn't do anything Be'ones or Be'shogeg, no Tzad L'Hakel. We're not making it at all. But if you did Bittel, and you just didn't burn it, Bishogi or Ba'ones, then it's a machlok zachronim, and Malcolm Hefson Ruba, we are Mekel Halacha Maisa. So, in that case, let's say, again, my great great uncle died on Erev Pesach morning at 9 o'clock and left me a storehouse full of chametz, and I said Bittel, but I was Mavato, but I never did beer because I didn't know it was there. Then, if it was a whole storehouse full, we'd be Nagel, which maybe we'll come back to. Okay, so this is the question that I want to just leave, and we will answer this question, Mitzvah Hashem, next time.